We will read Holy Scripture tonight from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25. And we will begin our reading at verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. On the basis of that word of God and the whole of Scripture, we consider tonight question and answer 52 of Lord's Day 19. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the living and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered himself for my sake to the tribunal of God and has removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate me with all his chosen ones to himself and to heavenly joys and glory. He shall come again. Indeed, the truth that we confess and that is revealed in Scripture is that the Lord Jesus is now coming again. The angel promised his return in Acts 1 verse 11, which we have had occasion to consider in recent weeks. When on the day of Jesus going away, that's what the ascension was, Jesus going away, the angel said, This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go in to heaven. And when the angel said, he will come in like manner, the angel said, meant to say this. He will come again as he went away in his body. As the Lord Jesus is departing from you now and has departed from you into heaven in his body, so he will come again at the end of the age in his body as the Lord of glory. But when the angel said, so in like manner he will come, the angel did not mean that day is going to be exactly like this day in every way. So that the day of Jesus' ascension and his departing is like unto the day of his return. Oh no. The truth of the second coming of Jesus Christ is that that day will be a very different day. On the day of his departing, Jesus appeared, we might say, privately to a small number of his disciples and followers. On the day of his return, Jesus Christ will appear publicly, not only to all who are living on the earth when he returns, but also to all who are dead. To all men who ever have lived, Jesus Christ will appear on the day of his return. And Jesus went away, we could say, to prepare for judgment. But what we confess and see tonight is that Jesus will return to accomplish judgment. So he went away to be crowned king. He went away to be seated as his honor, the judge, on the judgment seat. He's going to come back as the king with the crown on his head. And he's going to come back as the judge sitting in the judge's seat to judge all the living and the dead. This is what we read of in this parable that Jesus speaks in Matthew 25, right away in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory with the crown on his head as the judge. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. You know that from Job chapter 19, which I read as the call to worship tonight. He will stand on the earth in the latter day. He will come again. Job saw that. This was also prophesied in the outstanding prophecy of Jesus' second coming in Daniel 7, where Daniel speaks of the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, eternal God, sitting as king and judge. But then Daniel goes on to say, and I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That is an Old Testament prophecy yet to be fulfilled in the truth we confess tonight of the second coming of Jesus as judge. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. Of that we can be certain. I remind you that in the past weeks we saw that in the Old Testament God spoke of the resurrection of Jesus in Psalm 16, and that was fulfilled on the third day after he died. We also saw that God spoke of the ascension of Jesus in Psalm 68. That was fulfilled 40 days after his resurrection. We also saw that God in Psalm 120, 110 spoke of the sitting of Jesus at the right hand of God. That was fulfilled on the day of his ascension. And so, Jesus will come again. And what a terror that will be to many. For as the Catechism teaches us tonight, and as we are taught in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus Christ does not come as judge to save all men and bring all men to heaven. No, he's coming to send many to everlasting fire and punishment. And they are afraid of that day. And Jesus explains the fear that they will express that day when they, and you hardly want to imagine their screams, when they cry to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. What a terrible thought the truth of Jesus coming again in judgment is to them. But the second coming is comfort to those who belong to Jesus Christ. Is that true for you? Can you say tonight, you want Jesus to come? You look forward to it. It's a comfort. Well, that is the nature of the confession that we make in the Apostles' Creed and in the Heidelberg Catechism. We must be prepared and we must know of Jesus' coming so that we will be comforted by his coming. And may God use his word tonight to prepare us and comfort us in the coming of Jesus as we consider this Lord's Day under the theme, Christ's Judgment. We notice three things. It's a final judgment that was spoken of here in this Lord's Day. Secondly, it is a just judgment. And then thirdly, it is a desired judgment. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and he is coming again to do many things. He is coming again to put an end to this present age. In his second coming, this present world will come to an end, despite what the scoffers in days past and in our day may say. This world is not going to continue as it has and as it is right now. Jesus will come and put an end to it. He's going to come and he is going to raise all the dead so that there can be a judgment day. And after that judgment day, he's going to come for the purpose of destroying this present world and the present heavens, and recreating all things to make the new heavens and the new earth. But the Apostles' Creed, where we make confession of our faith, and now the Heidelberg Catechism tonight, focuses on one of the main things that Jesus Christ will do when he comes, and that is the final judgment. And that's what's described here in Matthew chapter 25. The judge, of course, is God. But what Jesus is claiming for himself here in this passage is that God is going to give him the honor of sitting as judge. God is going to give him that glorious position. He will sit on the throne of glory. He will be honored as his honor, the judge. That is the purpose of the final judgment too. That God may set his Son before all the world, all men and angels, and say, behold the glory of Jesus, the judge. If you've ever been in an earthly courtroom, then you understand that there is a certain honor and glory that that earthly judge has. In that courtroom, he is the little king of his kingdom. He sets the rules for behavior in that courtroom. He demands that people call him his honor and address him in a reverent way. And he is a man who has authority. People who come before him will be judged by him, and that judgment will stick. He has the ability to say over those people. You're guilty and you will be punished. And there's nothing you can do to overthrow that verdict of guilt and punishment. Or he has the authority to say, you're righteous and you will be rewarded. Well, that will be the Lord Jesus. He's the one who will sit on the throne, according to verse 31, and according to verses 35 and 40, he's the one who announces the verdict concerning the sheep, the righteous, that they are righteous and may enter into heaven, and concerning the goats, the wicked, and the verdict that they are guilty and will go to everlasting condemnation. He's the judge. And this is the teaching of Romans 14, verse 10, and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, which use both of those passages, the same phrase, to refer to the judgment seat of Christ. Christ will be the judge, the man Jesus. And who shall appear before him? It's the teaching of Scripture and of this Lord's Day. All men, all who ever lived. And that's what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 25. The goats, yes. Those who are wicked, they will appear before this judge. But notice that the sheep also appear before this judge. And that's the teaching of those two passages to which I referred just a moment ago in Romans and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where both passages basically say the same thing. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the testimony of Scripture is that Jesus Christ is not only going to have that honor, that all men somehow, in a very miraculous and mysterious way, individually will appear before him as judge and be under him, so that he will have the ability to announce the verdict of guilty or righteous over all men, but also all of the angels and the devils. Jesus indicates that here in verse 40 of Matthew 25. That's also the indication that we have in the last chapters of the book of Revelation. Satan is not going to escape the judgment day. Satan will be judged. And so will all of the devils and even all of the elect angels. And the judge in that day will be Jesus. So this will be his honor. He who was made a little lower than the angels in his first coming, in his second coming is going to appear as a little higher. I shouldn't say a little higher, but exalted on high, far above all angels and all others. He will be the judge. He will announce the verdict, and that verdict will be binding. With that twofold result, the righteous go to heaven as their eternal destiny, and the wicked go to hell as their eternal destiny as well. Jesus is speaking of here of what we call the final judgment. Final because it is the last and decisive judgment that once and for all seals the destinies of all men. And final because we recognize there are other judgments that come before that judgment, and we do well to take heed to that tonight. The truth about our Lord Jesus Christ in his exaltation and glory is not this, that one day he will become the judge. But when I was introducing this topic tonight in the introduction to the sermon, I wanted to make it plain, he is judge. And he's not going to wait to judge men and women and children, but he is judge now. And that is true. And all men find it to be true at the moment of their death. Every soul of every human being appears before Judge Jesus at the moment of death. And Jesus makes a very decisive judgment at that moment. The righteous in their souls are declared righteous and brought then to heaven. As Jesus indicates in Luke 23, when he says to the dying thief on the cross, "Today you will be judged in your soul, and you will be allowed to enter into heaven with me in paradise." But then the guilty, the reprobate, will be judged by Jesus at the moment of death to be guilty, and will be sent in their souls to the flames of that burning lake of fire, as is indicated by Jesus in Luke 16, when he speaks of the rich man and Lazarus, and that rich man before the resurrection of the body, but after he is dead, is tormented in the flame. And the explanation is that he's tormented in his soul because he has been judged after his death. Well, there is also the judgment that takes place now and constantly throughout history. Jesus does not wait to judge. He does not wait to judge his own people here tonight. No judgment begins at the house of God, and judgment is taking place constantly. And here's where we need to know that Jesus sitting as king in heaven, as judge in heaven, is the one through whom God has determined to judge all of the deeds of men, all of the time. And we need to remember as young people and as older people in the congregation that God, as judge through Jesus Christ, declares, "You will reap what you sow." I am a just judge. I am not a judge who winks at sin and unbelief. I am not a judge who ever lets the wicked go. You will reap what you sow. Now that doesn't mean that any one of the sheep needs to fear the everlasting punishment of condemnation. But God does make it plain, and Scripture makes plain, that there are consequences for the sheep, for the people of God, in this life if they think that they can get away with rebellion and disobedience. To those who think that, comes the word of God tonight. Jesus is the judge now, and men reap what they sow. And never, although it may appear that way to us, we need to understand this is the truth. Men never get away with rebellion and disobedience to God. And those who think that they will be the exception to this rule of God that people reap what they sow, will only find through painful consequences in their lives that God is always judge, and judgment starts at his house. But now this is the final judgment that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 25, and that is before us here in this Lord's Day. This will be the final judgment in the sense that it is decisive and that it is perfect in this sense. Now, although men reap what they sow and never get away with their rebellion and disobedience, now it may appear that way for a time, and the wicked may even pretend for a time that they have escaped the judgment of God, denying that God is judge, denying that God even is in heaven, that he exists, that he will bring any repercussions to men for their evil deeds. But in the final judgment, there will be no more of that. The wicked will be sealed to their destiny by God of everlasting condemnation, and no longer will have any recourse to any of the things in this world that they look to escape the reality of their condemnation before God. No, there won't be any money in hell or any other possessions or drugs or things to alleviate the punishment that will come upon them. But also, this will be the final deliverance and perfect deliverance of the righteous. No longer will the righteous have to suffer in this world under injustice and unrighteousness. No longer will the righteous appear in this world to be those who are not rewarded by God for their righteousness, but those who are forgotten and punished by God for their righteousness. No, the final judgment will be for them total glory. This will be a just judgment, this final judgment of Jesus, a twofold judgment. Condemnation of the goats, the glorification of the sheep. It will be just. This is something that many do not understand and do not want. In the world in which we live today, there isn't really any understanding of actual judgment and justice, which is this, that the evil must be punished, and that the righteous only may be rewarded. In this world, there really is no thought that judgment is about strictly dealing with evil. Rather, in this world, when men speak of justice and judgment, punishment is about deterring crime, maybe, or correcting those who have done wrong. There will be none of that in the day of Jesus' return. Jesus Christ is not going to come, it's very clear from Matthew 25 and from the Lord's Day, to correct men or to deter men from doing evil. But men are going to get what they deserve, exactly what they deserve for their evil deeds. Jesus Christ is going to punish those who are fornicators and idolaters, and adulterers, and thieves, and covetous, and drunkards, and murderers. They will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And here in Matthew 25, Jesus is speaking of those who for the sin of neglecting to be kind to others will be punished everlastingly in hell. Jesus will declare over those who continually walk in sin without repentance, you deserve and you will suffer everlasting punishment. Sin will be given what it deserves in that day. Jesus Christ will show that he has quite a different attitude to unbelief and to sin than what you find in the world. In a world where murderers will be given lenient sentences, where thieves and robbers and those who commit violent crimes are hardly given any punishment, Jesus Christ is going to reveal to the glory of God that God is a righteous God and that he is a righteous Lord and King. And that which is evil is punished exactly with the punishment it deserves. But the righteous will also be judged justly according to their works. It will be shown in the judgment day that they are righteous. No one is going to be able to say in that judgment day that Jesus Christ was unjust, because he sent all of those who had walked impenitently in sin to hell, but now he has also allowed those who have done nothing righteous into heaven. It's not going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to show that only those who have served God by God's grace will enter into heaven. No one will be able to say then that he is an unrighteous judge. That comes out in the parable. There are those to whom Jesus is going to say, "You didn't do any good to me. And you didn't do any good to me in as much as you didn't do any good to any of my people. And I am just in declaring you guilty and sending you to hell." But there are also going to be those in that day that Jesus is going to say, you did good to me. You did. And as much as you did it unto the least of my people, you did good to me. And no one's going to be able to gainsay that on that day. No one's going to be able to point at Jesus' people and say, ah, but they're unrighteous. And they don't deserve to go to heaven. Jesus is going to make it very plain on that day that he sends to hell those who are wicked and brings to heaven the righteous. And this is just an example. Jesus doesn't mean to say that the only evil deed for which men will be punished is that they neglect to do good to my people. Nor does Jesus mean to say the only good work that is going to come out in the judgment day is when my people have fed the hungry and clothed the naked and so on. There are going to be many other good deeds of my people. They're going to be displayed for all the world to see to show these are my people that I'm taking to heaven. All of this will be for the glory of God. We need to understand that tonight. Don't be uncomfortable with the reality that the judgment will be according to works. We don't have to be afraid of that because that won't be for your glory or for mine. God is not going to bring up our good works in the judgment day in order to glorify his sheep and say, look at how great my sheep are. But God is rather going to demonstrate the good works of his people to glorify himself. I'm the one who gave them the grace. I am the one who by my grace caused them to overcome sin and evil. I'm the one who worked in them righteousness so that they were able actually to serve me as their God. The purpose of this final judgment, then, will be that, to demonstrate the absolute righteousness and the glory of God. But then we do have a question, don't we? There's a judgment according to works, in which God demonstrates the good works of his people and brings his people to heaven, having demonstrated their good works. But aren't these people also guilty of sin? And can't we say even of their good works that they were not perfect but were tainted with sin? How can we then speak of a just judgment according to strict justice? Well, then, we need to look ahead to what Jesus speaks of here in Matthew 26, verse 2. When he says, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then if you read on in Matthew 26, you'll see that this is the chapter where we read of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he experienced great agony as he was considering the cup of the wrath of God that he was about to drink on the cross. And Jesus Christ knew that he was going to drink that cup of God's wrath for the sake of the sins of his people. And Jesus Christ willingly at the end of the chapter said, I will, this is the Lord's will, not my will, I will drink that cup to the end. He knew he would suffer the wrath of God for the sins of his people. There is the strict justice and judgment of God for the sins of the sheep. And that's why they're called righteous by Jesus in the parable. Perhaps you've been wondering that tonight. How can they even have a right to that name? They're guilty in themselves. Ah, but in the judgment day, they're going to appear as those whose guilt has been paid for through the death of Jesus Christ. And then in addition to that, their good works are going to be able to appear that judgment day as works that have been purified through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so you see, the righteous in the judgment day are not going in that day to appear for their own glory, but for the glory of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And then he's going to put to a stop all of the accusations of the devil, all of the accusations of anyone who might come to accuse his people. How are you going to accuse my people of guilt? But not only have their sins been washed away, but through my grace, I have caused them to do good works. Then it will appear that it is just that Jesus Christ announces about those for whom he did not die, whose sins are not covered through the blood of his cross, who therefore are guilty and responsible for their own sins. It will be just for Jesus to say, "You're guilty. Depart ye now from me into everlasting fire." But then for those for whom he has died, it will be just for Jesus to say, "You're righteous. And you have done good. You have served the Father. Now enter into heaven." Do you have the confidence that that day will be a good day for you? The reason that those who are renewed through Jesus Christ and who have faith can look forward to that day is that that day will be a day of all comfort. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Then his judgment is comfort for you with regard to your sin. Your sin has been covered. You don't have to be afraid that in that day, all of your works, including your sinful works, will appear before the judge and before all the world. And that will happen. But your comfort is that they will appear as covered through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, then his second coming and his judgment is comfort for you with regard also to your good works. It's striking in the passage that we read in Matthew 25, isn't it? And when Jesus says to the sheep, the righteous, he calls them that, "You have done good works," they don't really understand that. They're almost skeptical. They're humble. They know their sins. They question, "What are you talking about? I don't have any good works." And Jesus comforts them. "Oh, your good works that you have done by the power of my grace, even though they're tainted with your sins by you, are going to be cleansed by me." And they'll be there. They'll be there in that day. For the glory of my name and the glory of my Father in heaven. And if you believe in Jesus, then you also have comfort with regard to heaven. Comfort with regard to the coming of perfect glory. Comfort with knowing that when you die, you are going to be judged righteous by Jesus Christ and your soul is going to go to heaven. Death will be a gain for you. But comfort that not only will death be a gain for you, an improvement upon this life, but finally that in the judgment day, that will be the best day for you. Because that will be the day when Jesus Christ will tell you to enter into the glory prepared for you from before the foundation of the world, body and soul. The result will be everlasting life with the shepherd. Are you one then who with uplifted head can say you are looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, for the comfort of your soul and your body. But that's not the only reason to desire the second coming of Jesus Christ in judgment. The other reason is for the glory of Jesus Christ and of God. That is, and we must not overlook that, that is the great purpose of that final judgment. As much as we look forward to our own deliverance and salvation, as much as we look forward to the bliss of our souls and our bodies in heaven, this is the great desire of the believer. That God will be glorified through His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't this why we hate sin and hate our own sins and living in this world of so much sin and iniquity? Men deny God. They deny His power. They deny that He is the judge. Deny that He has anything to say about what is taking place here in this world. They deny our Lord Jesus Christ with their words and with their deeds. In that day, no one will deny Jesus, but all will bow the knee and confess that He is Lord and Judge. Don't you look forward to that day when you will be able to say before all men and women in the world, "That's my God. That's my Savior. The one who offered Himself before the tribunal of God for my sins. And He is the Lord and the ruler over all." Is this your desire? Do you long for this? The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in the Scriptures about His second coming so that we will know of His second coming and so that we will be stirred up to action. We must be prepared for His coming by His sovereign word and by His Holy Spirit applying this word to our hearts tonight. We will be prepared for His coming. Then we must be prepared by hearing and heeding the warning. Jesus' coming is not desirable for those who will not walk according to His commandments and walk in the light. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know that He is going to come and judge those who are guilty of sin impenitently, so that we will apply that truth to ourselves and repent of our sins and turn away from sin. And He wants us to know, too, that His second coming is not comfort to those who confess with their mouths that He is coming again, but with their lives continue to walk in darkness. No. Don't say that Jesus Christ is coming as your judge and Savior from heaven if you don't serve Him with your life as your King. Then, yes, He is coming as your judge, but you cannot know Him as coming as your judge and Savior, but as your judge who will condemn you. He is coming. He is coming as the judge and Savior of those who hear His word and who walk as the children of the light. And so, by your life, by your decisions, by your behavior, show Jesus is your King and He is your judge as your Savior. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word unto our hearts, that we may indeed look for and long for the coming again of Jesus Christ as judge. Lord, turn our faith to Him, that we may know that He and His work on the cross is alone the basis for our hope that we will be judged not guilty but righteous. And we pray, Father, that the knowledge of this truth may stir us up to flee from sin and temptation and to seek to do good works that will glorify Thee today, but also bring glory to the power of Thy grace in that great day of the return of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, comfort us as we know our sins and how they still cleave to us. Comfort us by declaring to us in Thy Word the judgment that we are forgiven for Christ's sake, so that we may be assured that on that day our sins will not rise up against us, but we will hear our Savior say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." In His name we pray, amen. Let us